beautiful screen. My goodness, that is just so gorgeous to be looking at up there. A few weeks ago, I shared from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, as an introduction, and then my intention was to go into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, basically about being faithful stewards with what God has entrusted us with. And so I didn't get through that message, so I want to just touch down on it today. The message is in two parts. The first part is going to be for people that might not know the Lord. And this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. It'll be a direct message, an invitation for people to respond to God's call. And the second part of the message will be to you and I, most of the people here I know and have made their commitment to Christ. And it's about that. The second part of the message will be for you and I, and as we steward God's gifts and talents and his abilities that he's put in our life, how are we doing that? So part A, part B. And so a few weeks ago, Lord, help me this morning. Help me just hear from you. Guide and direct my lips, Lord. Speak to the hearts here today, Lord, your children. Help us to hear a clear word from the Lord, each one. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually gave my message a title, Sarah. Are you ready? Are you faithful? And are you serving the Lord? Chapter 24, just condense it. Anybody remember chapter 24 in Matthew's Gospel? Read books, heard sermons, many, 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 end times. Title, End Times, The Latter Days. And so, just briefly, that whole chapter, a lot of verses, but there's Jesus mentions about wars and rumors of wars. He talks about earthquakes and famines in various diverse places, as the King James Version puts. He talks about these are signs of his coming. And he talks about an increase in persecution. And October the 20th, we're going to have a fellow named Gary Follison in our church. He has a ministry, Climbing for Christ. Matthew and Brandy are a part of that. They're going to Nepal, I believe, in a month or so. And Gary's vision 15 years ago put on his heart, God put upon his heart. He loved climbing. He loved going up into the mountains and climbing. And so God took that passage, that passion, and he turned it into Gary now goes and leads teams to places in the mountains to take the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, to these places that people are, the average Joe, is unable to go or is unwilling. That's the motto, eh? Unable to go to these mountain regions or unwilling. And so Gary's done that for 15 years, and it's kind of a worldwide ministry now where people have signed up and they go on these missionary journeys to take the gospel to the mountain regions where they have never heard the gospel. And over the last 5 years or so, Gary's tied in with an organization that actually has their eyes on spreading the whole gospel over the whole world, and they've actually identified groups of people around the world that the gospel's never been taken to. Thousands still. And part of their team, their organization, they have it in their vision that within, I believe, the next generation, it's actually possible to get the gospel to every region of the world, that every ear might hear. Would that be true, Brandy? And there's a movement that's gone for probably 20 years, they've targeted this, to take the gospel message around the world, and it's actually, according to their documentation, it's within reach. Never in a time of history has that taken place. And Jesus also said, the bad news is many would be turning from the faith. These are signs of the time, turning from the faith. Hearts growing cold towards the Lord. Signs of the end times. Many false prophets rising up. I'm the Christ, follow me. Jonestown, 41 years ago. He also said this, that you won't miss it. My appearing, gloriously across the sky. You won't miss my appearing. For some have preached over the years that one denomination that I know, they preached that, they prophesied that Christ was coming back in 1914. And then when he didn't, they said, he came spiritually. You didn't see him. His word clearly says, you're going to see him. You're not going to miss his appearing. But as we condense chapter 24 and lead into 25, I want you to remember these words. Through all of these signs that Jesus is saying, here's the most important. Keep watch in verse 42 and be ready. Keep watch and be ready. And then, so I've read a lot of books, and it, as I said 2 weeks ago, we get excited about all of these things and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But the whole point of it is that I be ready, that you be ready for his appearing, for the bridegroom to come. And so he goes from 24 and he launches right into what I would believe is the practical side of things. In chapter 25, he talks about 10 virgins. There it is. Let's get into it. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, at that time, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." My question this morning, are you ready for the return of Christ? As I've read this scripture, I'm going to take 4 or 5 minutes to cover it. I know preachers have preached 45 minutes on it, or some 4 or 5 full messages on it. And so, and I commend those that they're that gifted and deep digging. But honestly, the simplicity of this message I want before us this morning, are you ready? All chapter 4, the warnings, the signs coming. The question arises, are you ready to meet the Lord? It's a really simple story. 5 foolish, 5 wise. 5 are ready and 5 aren't. My question is, how can we be prepared? How can we be prepared? Here's the part of the gospel of the kingdom I want to share for a minute this morning. If you're here this morning and you're hearing this for the first time, maybe, thinking, what on earth are you talking about? Here's how we prepare ourselves. Jesus taught when he was here, John 3, verse 3, a man must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Born once of the water and once of the Spirit. A natural birth. We're all born that way. But Jesus said we must be born again. In our terminology in this church, we use it as inviting Christ into our life to be our Lord and Savior. Understanding the gospel message that Jesus Christ came to give his life for you and I. He took the penalty for our sin that we might go free, the slate wiped clean, and be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. That's part of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of heaven. And that's where we begin. Part of it is we recognize that there must be, as we recognize the good and the mercy of God, we recognize our sinfulness. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're born in sin. And we recognize that according to the word of the Lord. And we don't live in shame then, but we turn to the Lord for forgiveness and mercy. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And as Lydia portrayed last week, Revelation 3, verse 20. You remember last week? Jesus, I am standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Have fellowship. Throughout the gospel, we see God wants to save our souls. He sent his one and only son to die for our sin. But that's his part, and he did it well. Our part is this, that we respond to him. All of these songs this morning, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, all an invitation to invite the Lord in to your life. Yield, surrender. And whether you do that once you start, that's just the beginning. The rest of our lives are like Joe and Denise and an example to us. What next, Lord? My life is surrendered to you. What do you have for me? And we begin to follow the Lord. But it all begins with a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting him into our heart. And the Bible declares that in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says that we are now become sons and daughters of God. Oh, I didn't realize you're faster than me. Get me spinning around here. I'm used to looking up there, and there it is right there. So we invite Christ in. It doesn't matter how you do it, but that you're responding your heart to his invitation. And then it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. That's our identity. You're a child of God. And God, anybody in the building today, and you haven't invited Christ to be your Lord and Savior, God invites you. He wants you to be his son or his daughter and be born again by his Spirit. That's what he does. We've got a response. We've got a part. It's, Lord, be merciful to me. However you want to say it. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And inviting the Spirit of God to come into your life. Would there be an amen to that? Amen. One or two, few in the church. It's serious business. I know I joke around a lot with you, but it really is serious business. I just read the scripture this morning, and I read it all, and every one of these stories that we're going to say, five are, yes, they were ready. They were ready. They heard the word of the Lord, and they responded to him. Five didn't. And when I read about those five, and I'm going to read about the five, two, and one talents coming up, and I'm going to read about the Lord coming back, and boy, there's a good side, yes, and there's a sad side too. Every one of them, somebody didn't make it. And when I read that, my heart just grieves for people. I've heard some preaching that sometimes I'm wondering, do they even love people that are lost? Like, yeah, they deserve it. Oh, man, I know what I deserve if it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God. And when I realize that, God fills my heart and yours with compassion for those that don't know him. Amen? And if we haven't got a heart like that, we can ask him for one. We can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be a merciful, loving, compassionate, and caring for those that are blind to the truth of the gospel. Quick story about the gospel. Heard it this week from one of my favorite preachers. Grabbed my heart. It's a story about in the Second World War, the United States government, after the devastation in Europe, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of orphans. And there was a fella, he came to an orphanage with his little daughter, and he asked, can I leave my daughter here? I cannot take care of my daughter. And the lady running the orphanage, she said, I'm sorry, sir. We can only take our mandate here as orphans. As long as there's one parent, responsibility is yours. We would love to, but we can't. There are so many orphans. That's our mandate. And the man said, let me understand. If I were dead, you could take my daughter? And she says, basically, yeah. That's the truth. That's our mandate, orphans only. He took his daughter's hand, put it in the place of the lady's hand, and he said, I'll arrange it. And he went out and took his life so that his daughter would have somebody to care for her, because he couldn't. the gospel. Jesus hung on a cross so he could take your hand and mine and place it in the Father's. He took care of it. That's his part, and he did it so well. And our part is to respond. Lord, I'll take your hand. From a heart sincere wanting to come to the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You don't have to put it up again, Sarah. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Jesus Christ taking our hand, placing it in the Father's. Reconciling us to our Father. That's part one. Here's part two. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, I believe. The second story. And this would be, of course, for those that have followed the Lord for some time. Sometimes we're in 5, 10 years and get a little dreary and weary, and God wants us to keep going, looking to him, asking for his strength. Again, it will be like, remember he said, the kingdom of God. Again, it'll be like, in that time, it'll be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and trusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. That's the time we're living in right now. You and I, God's given us our life. He's given us our talents, and the master's gone away. King's gone away. He's coming back. He's returning soon. And we're responsible for these gifts, these talents, in this case, money, and how we use these things for God's honor and glory. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. This is what his master said. He replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching on that. Stop on this verse. Think the master's coming back. Think of those words, well done and good and faithful servant. We're a delight to his heart. The talents that he's placed in us, our lives. It thrills our Father, his delight. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What an exciting day. What an exciting day. Come and share. The man with the 2 talents also came. He said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and, there it is again, share your master's happiness. Then it gets sad. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, uh-oh, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those aren't my words. Those are Jesus' words. Number two, church, are you faithful as a steward of God? Are you faithful as God's steward? Remember, I introduced this sermon 2 weeks ago and there was no condemnation and no separation. I started that because when you go down, you read scripture like this, people come from various backgrounds and some very horrendous. And when they read this, it's just another brick on their pile. It just hurts so much. That's not my heart. That's not my heart. If you're here this morning and the upbringing was horrible, we serve a good, good Father. Number three guy there, look how he described Father. Hard man, reaping where he does not sow. And his whole attitude looking at the Father was totally wrong, totally wrong. We read in Scripture throughout that God is merciful and loves human beings. Beyond anything, he loves human beings, you and I. And he went to that extent that he sent his son to pay the penalty that we might be reconciled to Father. That's the good, good Father we serve. And even when life's tough and difficult, and we sang like we did this morning, we declare the goodness of God, even when the enemy comes in like a flood, that is the God that loves and we serve. And so as he captures our heart, we begin to serve him. We see our Father is good. The two guys, he went away and they immediately got to work in using their gifts and talents, using their lives for the Lord's honor and glory. And so as you and I, not only are we children of God and we're pumped that we've been adopted into the family, but we're also called friends. And we're also called servants of the Lord. And that's what this story is all about, is you and I are stewards. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Would there be an amen to that? The world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Every one of us have been given life by God. Every one of us have been given talents and gifts, and they're not for our own use. They're for God's honor and glory. You can read in the Old Testament some wonderful stories about Abraham's servant. And Abraham's servant, his whole life is about pleasing his master. And his heart is thrilled when he finds his master's son a bride. He's excited, but the language is everything is about pleasing his master. Joseph, as he served as a servant first, remember Joseph, 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph being one of them. And Ephraim and Manasseh. But Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and his brother sold him into slavery in Egypt, and he went down there and he ended up in a guy named Potiphar's home. And Potiphar was a high official of Pharaoh. And he put this guy, Potiphar, saw Joseph as a servant, and he gave everything, made him the steward over everything in his home. Why? Because he could see the Lord's hand of blessing upon him. But Joseph's life, he wasn't the owner of anything. He was just the servant of Potiphar. And God blessed Potiphar's home because of Joseph's faithfulness. But Joseph's life in that period of his time, he was just a steward of Potiphar's possessions. And that's what you and I, we're stewards of what God has given us here on earth to bring him honor and glory. And that is what our lives are truly about after we've been bought by a price of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5:14 and 15. Here it is, remember? We're born again. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, that's Jesus, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Simply put, his life for mine. Now I owe him my life. I owe him my life. In our lives from now on, born again, following Christ, are to be lived to please our master. And that's what those songs this morning were about, all about surrender. Beginning in surrender, continuing in surrender, ending in surrender. Lord, not my will, your will be done, that your name be glorified here on earth. I close with this. Wow, I don't close with that. Somebody changed my notes. Okay, we don't go there. Wow, that was a shocker. Who wrote that? My goodness. We'll leave that one down there. I close with this thought. Are you using your talents, your time, treasure, your talents for the Lord? Or are you wasting them? Sobering thought. Good wake-up call, check time today. And believe me, I preach this to myself. I don't come and stand before you and say, you ought to. No, I'm before the Lord. Lord, use my life. If I'm turning to the left, the right, or whatever, God, bring correction. I want to follow you with a whole heart. I want to use my life to honor and glorify you. I don't want to be wasting my life. Amen? Amen. I close with this thought. 1972, my best friend and I were asked by Mark Messier's father to move to Edmonton and play hockey for his team. We moved into Edmonton, put in a Catholic school so we could play on a Catholic hockey team. Our whole goal, my friend Ron and I, was to receive a scholarship, North Dakota, Michigan, somewhere, for our education. That was our goal. And as we got into Edmonton, we basically, me more than him, but wasted our talent. Got sidetracked with wine, women, and song. And so rather than going to bed at a decent hour and getting up and getting out to Stony Plain at the hockey arena and practicing our talents and developing them so that we could reach our end goal of getting a scholarship in the States, we got sidetracked. 2 years into the program, I remember sitting in the Messier home, my father and Mary Jean Messier having a conversation, and her words like this, that your son is wasting his talent. Wasting his talent. And what a spear in the heart, realizing, yes, I did. You might not believe it, a little short guy like me, but I did have talent that God gave me. And in case you've heard the story and they say he could have made it, don't believe them. Because I was only one of thousands of young men across this nation that wanted to play hockey at a serious level and got sidetracked by something. The ones that made it, and the ones like me that didn't, didn't. But I did have talent. I did have talent. And as I listened to her story, I was wasting my talent. The end of the story, I came to Hinton, I got saved, praise God, and I never regret a day that I didn't make it, this, that, and the other thing. I'm pleased with what God did with my life, turned around. But my message to you this morning is, are you wasting what God's placed in you? Are you wasting what God's placed in you? That's okay. If you are, the answer is easy. God, get me on track. You know him, you've followed him for years, and maybe your heart's even dry towards the Lord, that it's so far back. It's not even a question of using your talents and gifts for God, but your heart's become hardened towards the Lord. Today's the day to invite your faith in your heart and get your eyes upon him. He will. Ron, would you come? Church, would you stand? I'm going to dismiss the service in a prayer. I ask you again to go quietly, and I would pray, or I would ask that if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, then I would ask you to stay behind. You don't even have to come to the front. Just raise your hand, get my attention. Ask somebody in the house of God that you know that knows Christ to pray with you or to explain a little more about God's plan of salvation. Or if you're here this morning and maybe you're one that you feel, yeah, God's been convicting me for a week, a month, a year. I've been wasting my talents and gifts. We want to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you just after, once the song begins, those that want to go, go just downstairs quietly. There's coffee and a few things for you. But I want to encourage prayer in the church this morning. Time to reflect. The word of the Lord was spoken. The word of the Lord we read. And if the Lord has worked anything in your heart this morning, pricked your heart in anything, I encourage you to stay around, stick around, and spend some time with him and let him to continue his work in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. Amen.